Can you hear the music?
I can.
Oh my god. The last couple of weeks, no one's been able to hear it.
Oh, really? Yeah. Nope. Loud and clear over here.
There you go. Hell yeah. Gets me right pumped up to support a podcast. Oh.
I can't play for shit, but...
All right, welcome back to another episode of On the Throne with Dick. Shout out to Senjin Boychuk for that intro music. No one's been able to hear that for the last, 3-4 weeks. And, it's just been padding my stats against Gord from the Second Act podcast, who's keeping tally on not a lot of people can hear it. And he's like, man, most people can hear it. And the last, 3-4 weeks, no one's been able to hear it. So
it's those damn updates.
It's them damn updates. I'm telling you. They do it a lot. So shout out to Senjin Boychuk, man. Find him everywhere on the socials this week, man. I'm pumped. We got Crystal M from, Crystal Carpentry. Crystal Carpentry. Same thing. How's it going?
Pretty good. Yeah.
That's good. I got a day off today and I'm hanging out in the hotel. It was a rain day. My wife came out on Friday night, I believe.
Nice.
So we got to hang out last night and all day today, and she just left. So we've been hanging out. We went to Boston Pizza for lunch, watched a little bit of football. It's football Sunday, right?
Yeah.
The Chiefs game's on right now. I just finished watching the Dallas Cowboys win a nail biter. And I just became a Buffalo Bills fan recently. I just became an NFL fan. We're in week two of I'm even speaking the lingo of the NFL now. We're in week two.
Fast learner, right?
Yeah. Are you a fan of NFL football?
No, I mean, I don't really keep up on it, but if, my team is going to the playoffs, then, I'll watch the game.
Seattle. So you're a Seahawks.
Yeah.
You're
Seattle, Seahawks. Yeah.
I love Seattle. I've been to Seattle a couple times in my lifetime. It was a 17-hour drive or something like that.
Okay. Yeah.
We went down there and we went to the very first Starbucks, which was kind of cool.
Oh, yeah. Down in Pike Place, right?
Pike Place. Yeah.
Yep. We did Pike Place is cool.
Sky Wheel. Yeah. Yeah, it is. Yeah, it is
cool down there. Yeah.
Yeah. I just went to Idaho and took a venture into Washington State. It went to Spokane and I took my kids to a Golden Corral. And when I looked at how much taxes we were paying compared to in Utah, I left. I went back to Utah. Yeah.
I guess I'm just used to it because I've lived here all my life, but the taxes are fucked. They're so high. Like, if I go anywhere else, I'm just like, wow, this whole time we're just getting screwed down here. It's bad.
It is bad.
Yeah.
It is bad, man. I live in Canada. I mean, I think all of Canada pays stupid high taxes anyway, but
yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, man. Yeah. So what have you been up to?
Just making art and working.
Making art. I love that. I love that. And who's this here? Who do we got here?
Oh, this is my cat, Pepper. Or
Pepper.
She's wanting some attention.
Hello, Pepper. Yeah, we got a cat last year in the new year. This year in the new year. We got one in February, January. I think it was end of January we got a cat. And none of us knew we were all allergic to cats.
Oh no.
Yeah. He hid from everybody for the first 3 days and we were just right? And my daughter was super sad. She's like, unless this cat comes out to play with me, I'm not going to school. I'm not going to school until this cat comes out to play. Finally the cat came out to play and have a good time. And that's when, the cat came out. Then we all started scratching it was a hard decision, but about a week after having the cat, it was like, hey man, we got to take him back. And luckily the place that we got him from took him back.
That's a legit reason. If everyone is just dying from it. What are you going to do? I'm slightly allergic to cats, but it's only if I touch my eye or something after I pet a cat, I'll get all itchy and stuff. But we have 5 cats. So
yeah, are you a Taylor Swift fan?
No, I'm not. I knew my
next door neighbors. They're not new anymore. They're from last summer. They moved in. I watched them move in, and they carried like 5-6 cats with them inside. I'm like, they're gonna be belting Taylor Swift out their windows soon enough. And like, I shit you not, within like a week, they were like, it was obvious they were Swifties. So
yeah. We also have tarantulas. I'm pretty sure Taylor Swift doesn't like tarantulas.
What? You got a spider?
We have 4, I think, now. One is a bird. Have you ever heard of the bird eaters?
Yeah.
Yeah, so they get like the size of a dinner plate when they're full grown. We have 2 of those.
And are they full grown?
They're like that big right now. We got them when they're
8. They're like a healthy, respectable cereal bowl.
Yeah.
That's cool.
Yeah, you don't want to hold those ones. I have like one that you can hold that's like super calm and like won't bite you, but the bird eaters, you do not want to touch those things.
Have you been bitten by the one that bites?
No, I haven't, but I don't want to. I would never risk it.
So what happens if this thing bites you? What happens?
It just hurts. It just hurts really bad. I mean, the fangs on this thing are like, they're pretty big. So you don't want those things stinking into you.
Yeah, it's not like poisonous. It's not fatal. It's,
No.
Okay, that's cool.
Yeah.
My growing up, my dad, he had his own metal roofing business, and he had this guy that worked for him, and he had a tarantula named Delilah, right? And we would go in and we'd look at this thing, and he'd just be holding it in his hand and just chilling. He's like, man, he's like, this thing is awesome. And I just think, I'm like, there's no way I'm having a tarantula in my house. You know, like growing up, you hear there's 3 things that, you know, are going to kill you. Quicksand is one of them, which never happened.
Yeah.
New Kids on the Block having a bunch of hits, never happened. And tarantulas being super poisonous. Right?
Yeah.
And like, it just wasn't a thing. Right. And so I never pet his spider. And he's like, you just got to remain calm and move, you know, with calm actions and stuff like that. Don't freak her out. And he went to go put her away, and he'd, you know, just move like, you know, just slowly and drop her down, and we'd bring things over to feed her with. And
I had this really creepy spider, and I was rehousing it, so giving it a new tank because it had grown a lot. And I don't remember the name of it now, but it was like from Africa or something. And it was like actually one that could, like, if the bite could fuck you up a little bit, but not, it won't kill you, can make you sick or whatever. I didn't know that when I got it, because it was kind of like I just bought it, and when I was rehousing it, it escaped in the house. And it was like a huge thing. Like, my husband, he tolerates the spiders, but he doesn't love them. And I thought that I killed it because I sprayed some killer down the vent, and 3 days later my cat was trying to play with it, so it was running around our house while we were sleeping. It could have like walked on us or anything for like 3 days, and I was just like, oh my god. We had like 8 spiders in, now we have 4, and we're not getting any more after that incident.
That's crazy.
So, yeah,
there's a woman down in Utah who has alpacas. I just discovered her on TikTok last night.
Yeah,
I don't know where in Utah. But she feeds these things, like, she takes reaction videos of these things, like, oh, feed my alpacas apples or oranges or whatnot. And she's like, one of them, you know, usually doesn't end up liking anything, but the rest are all like, hey. And then there's always the one that really liked it, and he tries to, like, steal it off the other ones when she's trying to get the reaction. And, I just discovered her last night. I watched, my wife and I were laying there, and I watched, like, fuck, I went down the rabbit hole. I probably watched, like, all of her videos, like, last night. It's crazy.
Oh, that's great.
Yeah,
alpacas are cool. They're super cute. There's a place in Washington I took my sister for her birthday where you can go to alpaca farm and you go hiking in the mountains with them.
That's cool.
You can like walk, you get to walk your own, and you feed them, and it's a super cool experience. Like, I highly recommend it to anyone. I don't know if they have that kind of stuff in your area, but
don't they spit on people?
They do. And when we were on the hike, one of them spit straight on in the lady's face, and it just looked like throw up all over her face, and the instructor was like taking her picture and stuff.
That's so gross. But like,
it was so gross.
Yeah. They don't like you, they're just like, hey.
Yeah.
It's crazy.
Yeah.
So what do you got behind you there? Are those albums or those books?
Albums.
Yeah, they look like vinyl.
Yeah, so my husband has 2 jobs, but one of them is he sells vinyl. So our whole house is vinyl. And we both are huge into music, so I have my own collection, and he has his own collection too. So This is just a little tiny bit of it.
What's the rarest one you got in your collection?
Oh God, I don't even know. Cause they always go up in value. I actually have, believe it or not, an Evanescence box set that I got years and years ago. And it was like the original pressing of it. And I think it's like, I don't know. I think he said it was like $600-$700 now.
Wow. So, okay. That's cool.
Yeah. It's pretty cool. I don't really know. I haven't like looked at them. You know what I mean? Like looked them up to see.
You don't have like the white album of the Beatles in there anywhere?
Yes, we do. We have some of those. Yeah.
Hey, yep. You can't be a vinyl collector and not have the Beatles white album, right?
Oh, yeah. There's more than one of those.
Yeah. Do you have the Sgt. Pepper's Lonely Hearts Club Band?
My husband does.
Oh yeah. So like I know you can't be a vinyl collector and not have one of those two.
You
cannot have there's quite a few of them you can't have that.
Oh yeah. All the classic rock. We really love our classic rock. We have tons of classic rock and I mean
I love that. Cool. Fuck yeah, I love that. Yeah. So you're a carpenter.
Yeah, yeah. I'm a journeyman carpenter.
Nice. How'd you get into that? Like what transpired? What made you be like, hey, you know what? Like I'm gonna play with wood for a living, you know?
Well, so it's kind of a weird story and it kind of all goes back to Kentucky Fried Chicken and prison.
Oh my God. Yeah. I gotta hear this. KFC in prison. All right.
Yeah. So years ago, it's been like 10 years now, but I got out of prison and I was on probation and part of my stipulation. So I didn't go back to prison while I was on probation was I had to either go to school or find a job. And I couldn't find a job. Nobody would hire me. I went to a bunch of interviews. You know, my confidence and my self-esteem at that time was not the same as it was now. You know, I was starting my life over, going to these interviews at like, I went to like Lowe's and Dairy Queen, Kentucky Fried Chicken. So Kentucky Fried Chicken was the last interview that I went to. So it was kind of my breaking point because my probation officer said like, hey, you have this much time left. And if you don't get a job or go to school, I'm violating you and you're going back to prison for like 2 years. So I was like fucking freaking out. You know, I'm like, I got to find a job. So I go to this Kentucky Fried Chicken interview, right? And I sit down with the guy and he shakes my hand and he sets this tape recorder on the counter, right? And I'm like, he clicks it on and he starts asking me these like crazy questions that I don't know how to answer. And I'm like, I froze up and I couldn't answer any of the questions. And the interview was like over and I left and I start crying because I'm like, I'm fucked. Like, I'm so fucked. Like, I can't get a job. I can't even get a job at Kentucky Fried Chicken, right? So basically I was like, maybe I should look into going to school for something. Like, I have no idea what I want to go to school for. I don't like there's no carpenters in my family or anything like that. You know what I mean? So I started looking at like my local community college and I was like, I looked at welding, automotive and carpentry. And I kind of was on the fence because I've always been a hands-on person. You know, I could never see myself like sitting behind a desk.
Yeah.
Doing that kind of thing. So I decided carpentry. It was kind of like on a whim. And I went and I talked with the instructor and I enrolled, you know, I got financial aid and I was like, hey, told my probation officer, here you go. I'm in school now.
Boom. So
it just kind of went from there, you know, and I started, I didn't know anything. I couldn't read a tape measure. I definitely couldn't swing a hammer. Like I didn't know shit. So I was basically starting from nothing. And it was basically a 2-year program where you get like a associate's degree in carpentry technology. And it's kind of like a pre-apprenticeship in a sense.
Yeah.
So I completed the program and I did really well. I ended up doing really well. I had great instructors. I had a lot of people, you know, that believed in me and pushed me to do better and, you know, to learn. And I had all that opportunity to learn and grow. And it was, you know, a really awesome experience. And the union in our area actually has a connection with that program. So if you complete that program, you can get direct entry into the apprenticeship.
That's cool.
So I didn't have to go through like the whole process of the apprenticeship, you know, because it's quite the process getting into the union. So I had the direct entry. So then I started the 4-year carpenter's apprenticeship from there. So
hell yeah. So prison. Like, you seem like you would rock that place. Did you own that place? Were you like, you know, like running the canteen and like stealing the lunch money and like, you know, like, hey, you can't sit here.
You know, like. Okay, so I spent a lot of time in jail, like in my younger days, like since I was a teenager, juvie jail. I was in and out a lot. And when I went to prison, I was sentenced to 4 years. And the judge gave me the opportunity, and she said, or he said, that if I can do really good while I'm in prison and then do really well while I'm out, I can do half in and half out. But if I violate, fuck up one time, I have to do the whole sentence, which is 4 years. So, no, I said, fuck that. I am not throwing away 4 years of my life.
You're a Girl Scout.
I did well in there. I tried to avoid people that, I mean, because there's fights going on in there all the time. You know what I mean? Yeah. And it wasn't necessarily a new scene to me. So I kind of knew what to expect in a sense. I'd never been to actual prison. It was mostly like jail and stuff like that. But prison is better than jail. I will tell you that.
I don't know the difference. You know, like I'm a Boy Scout, you know? Like,
yeah.
I've always followed the rules. I've never thought about even, I'm Canadian for one. I don't know what a gun looks like. So like, you know, I carry a pocket knife on me, but like, that's mainly just, I lose it all the time. I got another one. And then I know I buy that knowing I'm going to lose it. Right. Like fingerprints are on a bunch of knives. So that's not good. Yeah. But, you know?
Yeah.
So, you know, I'm Canadian. I've just been a goody two shoes all my life, and it's, you know,
That's awesome.
Yeah, I guess so.
You don't have to go through all the heartache.
I really don't drink or do anything like that. I'm drinking right now. You bet. I just discovered these smooth iced teas, so I'm drinking that. They taste like fucking water. So yeah, like yeah, that's so. So you were like, you know, did you think about getting in some? You're like, oh man, I'm smart. Jump in there. You know, that's what you mean. But then you're just like,
there are some people that try to start shit with me, and there's people are doing drugs in there, and there's. Yeah. I mean, girls are hooking up with girls, and if you get caught, like, doing stuff with a girl, that's a violation. And
what? Really? That's a violation? Yeah. If you're hooking up with a woman, that's a violation?
Yeah. The girls would be in the bathroom, you know, doing whatever all the time, and I had girls hit on me and try to get me involved. And I'm not, like, into that kind of stuff, but, I mean, at the Hold same on. Time. Like,
Do you think the dudes are treated the same? Do you think the dudes are treated the same? If the in male prison, do you think they're treated the same? Like, hey... You get caught having sex with another dude that's in prison, or you think they stand around and be like, hoo, 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 right? Like, that's what I picture in prison to be, right? But like,
I don't really know. I've never had that conversation with anyone. I'm kind of curious now. Probably you're not supposed to be having like sexual interaction with anyone in there. You know what I mean? So probably I would say.
Yeah. It's like, remember the movie, The Other Guys, with like Will Ferrell and what's his name? Marky Mark, Mark Wahlberg.
Mm.
Like, I hope you like to taste of prison food. Yeah, and penis, right? And like, yeah.
I think I know what movie you're talking about.
Yeah.
It's super funny, isn't it? Yeah. I remember that movie.
I wouldn't picture you for like, you know, a goodie. Like, I'm not a goodie. I wouldn't picture you as a badass because I've seen some of your videos and you go to like fucking like medieval fucking fairs and shit. You know, like, like you remember that movie Role Models where Augie is like, you know, Kiss My Anthea and like, you know, like they're doing battles in the park and shit like that. And
I don't remember that movie. Nope.
You don't remember that movie?
No, I'm going to have to check it out.
Oh, wow. That's such a good movie. Sean William Scott's in it. Paul Rudd. Yeah. The guy from Superbad in it. McLovin.
Oh, what?
Yeah.
Okay. I'm going to have to check it out now.
Yeah. Yeah. I just picture you like to be a little nerdy. Right. And like, yeah, no. And that's cool.
Funny because like a lot of people that meet me now, like professionally, like on the job and like just in general, they're usually like if they do find out or the conversation comes up, they're just like, are you serious? No way. Like I would have never pictured you that way. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And even my husband didn't know me then. He only knew me when I got clean and I got out and I was, you know, getting my shit together. So even he's like, I can't. It's so crazy to me. Like,
like I picture you going to prison for slaying like a level 7 orc, you know, like that's why I went to prison because, you know, an orc crossed my path and I just fucking slid his throat, you know?
Nope.
Yeah.
Nope.
Yo, wow. That's crazy. Wow. Good for you.
Yeah. It's been a journey.
No shit. The other stuff, you know, like the carpentry, you know, you do like, you like, you're an artist, right? Like, so like what kind of artist stuff do you make? Like, do you build houses? Do you frame houses with your wood? And then like, you're over here. Like, I seen a video, we'll get to that in a minute, but like, what kind of carpentry do you do?
What kind of carpentry do I do?
Yeah.
So I'm actually not union currently. I was union most of my career, and I worked for a general contractor. I mostly did like we worked on like sky rises and, you know, towers and just like in the main Seattle and stuff like that. So I've done a lot of everything. I've done like concrete framing, finish work. I mean, drywall. I've done like so many different things during that time period. What I really like is the finished carpentry. I'm pretty good at it and I really enjoy doing it, but really I enjoy all of it. Now I work for a smaller company and I do like remodels for like retail spaces and apartments and stuff like that. And I really like that because I have like a really flexible schedule and I'm the boss and I have a small crew. And I really like that more than the high rise thing, because when I was doing that, I had no time. Like, I just was always thinking about work and it was just like stressing me out all the time. I had no time for my family and friends. And like, I just feel like I had no life. And I wasn't working on my art. I was losing my creative side. And I just, I don't know. I just decided to make the change and I'm really glad that I did.
Yeah. Hell yeah. That's important. You know, like, you gotta do what makes you happy, right? If you're starting to lose your spark, you know, like, that's pretty much all we have, right? We have our spark and our passion and our interests. You start losing that, you start losing yourself, right? Yeah. And then what's the point, right? So, that'll be good for you for getting back to that. I had a really rough year last year and a little bit into this year with my mental health. And, you know, I got diagnosed with borderline personality disorder, you know, and it was starting to really fuck me up, right? My whole life, I've just had this feeling of being, like, I guess, off, I guess. Not really being welcomed anywhere, always feeling like, you know, people are talking shit and they don't want me around. And if, you know, my boss, he says, he's known this for a decade. He says, he's like, yeah, man, I know you've been fucked up for 10 years. And he said, right. My wife is like, yeah, we've been together 20 years. And this is like, I just assumed you knew. Right. And she's like, I just assumed you tolerated me is what she said. I assumed you tolerated me. Right. I'm like, no, I assumed you're tolerating me for 20 years, right? Like my parents tolerated me, right? That's how I felt. And, you know, like the abandonment side of BPD, I don't know if you know anything about BPD, but like it's pretty fucked up. Yeah. Yeah. I got help, you know, I got diagnosed. I started seeing videos online everywhere. I started feeling more understood, more whole. You know, the one thing the doctor or the psychiatrist said to me when they diagnosed me, it was like, what do you want this diagnosis for? And I'm like, I want to feel understood. I want to feel like there's a reason, right? Yeah. And a reason and a way forward, you know, some help out there. She's like, yeah, okay, that's what I want. She's like, I don't want you using this as an excuse.
Yeah. Right?
And I'm like, no, that's not it at all. Like, you know, like, I always knew I was a piece of shit. So there's my, you know. it's been a really rough ride, you know, for the last, I guess, 8 months, 9 months now. Like, it's been, I've said this quite a bit, the journey to being a better person and healing is anything but peaceful, right? The way back is not peaceful.
Totally understand that. Yeah. And mental health is so important. Like, I can't even stress that enough. And I myself have done a significant amount of counseling. You know, I was pretty fucked up back in the day. I did a lot of counseling and it really, really helped me learn new perspectives, learn about myself and just become a better person, you know, in general.
I saw a video that you made with those Viking chairs that you were making, right? And I'm like, man, I did that when I was a kid. We did that in Boy Scouts, right?
Cool.
I painted mine. Mine was yellow and had like the outline of like a wolf howling at the moon on it. And we cut it out. And we had to make that. I think I still had that up until, it's been like 28, 29 years since I made that. So 30 years. And I think as early as 20 years ago, I seen it. 20 years ago, I seen it last. Yeah. Right. It might be in my dad's garage somewhere still or whatnot.
That's cool.
Yeah.
That's cool. Right on. It's a fun little project for like kids and stuff, for anyone. Anyone can make that. You know what I mean? It's like one of those things that's just super fun and you can use it for years to come.
Yeah, when I saw that, it brought back the nostalgia, right?
It's like, oh, yeah. Damn,
I did that when I was like 8 years old, man. That's pretty neat. Of course, I didn't do it myself, you know?
Yeah.
You know, I wouldn't trust myself now with a fucking, you know, Sawzall. You know, you give that to an 8-year old me, I'm likely to, you know, chop my finger off or something.
Yeah. Something's going to happen.
Yeah. Yeah. So I was saying earlier about how, you know, the new updates and stuff like that, right? I figured something out, and I wanted to play a video on here. I want to know if you can see it, and then we'll talk about it afterwards.
Okay. But
let's see if this works.
It worked.
It worked.
It yeah, worked. It did.
It worked. So, like, that's mind-boggling to me, right? Like, you were a missing person for, you know, how long were you missing for?
I would say a couple years, roughly. It was the time around the time that I got heavily addicted to hard drugs when I was really young, and I left home on my own. I got wrapped up with the wrong people. And basically my mom didn't know where I was. She didn't know if I was dead or alive, you know, for that period of time. And she had posted flyers. You know, you go to Walmart and you see the flyers in Walmart of the missing children. Have you ever seen that? Yeah.
Yep.
So like my face was on one of those flyers, you know, when I was like 13 years old.
Eerie, man.
And I just living on the streets, doing drugs, doing crime, just, you know, wrapped up with the wrong people. And I'm really lucky that I made it out alive, you know? And, a friend of mine actually reconnected me with my mom, a girlfriend of mine. She knew where I was and she reconnected with my mom. And, I started to get some of the help that I needed, but obviously I fell off the bandwagon again.
Hey,
so
it's a bumpy journey. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
My therapist said to me, he's like, you know, the road to being a better person is how you say that, you know, the road to being a better person is filled with confrontation, right? Which means, you know, you're going to run into speed bumps, you know, and it doesn't make you a shitty person. You know, it's just life is fucking hard, man. You know, there's no guidebook, you know, other people have been there, maybe not in that exact situation or maybe that exact situation, but not in your point of view. Right. Life's just fucking hard. You know, we all have one life to live and, you know, like it's going to be bumpy, you know, so, you know, hit the speed bumps and learn from them. Right. Yeah.
Yeah. And I'm honestly, prison saved my life because I mean, since I was 13 years old, I was in and out of the system, in juvie, in jail, you know, all over Washington. And I think that before I went to prison, I had really hit rock bottom and I didn't care if I lived or died. And I never saw myself living a life other than the life of addiction. And when I went to prison, I was actually, so the part of the prison that I was placed in, it was called the therapeutic community. And it was a program that they had where they kept you kind of separate from the main population.
Yeah.
And it was like kind of like a boot camp slash like counseling thing mixed together. And it was really crazy. Like some of it was kind of wacko, like now that I think back at it, but like a lot of it helped me. Like some of it, you'd have to like walk down the hall, like boot camp, like with your hands on your sides and you couldn't talk. And the like guards would say stuff and you have to like repeat back to them. And it was like super weird.
Sounds like my 7th grade fucking principal, man. Holy shit.
Yeah, I know. So that part of it was like super hardcore. And you were like in classes, like therapeutic, whatever, counseling classes with these other inmates, like 6 days a week and like all day long, you know, you'd go have like breakfast. Then you go to class and then you go have lunch, class. And you're like in these classes. So it was like super hardcore. And I feel like that saved my life because if I had just went to like the general population, like who knows what I would have done. You know what I mean? Like I wouldn't have had the counseling. They have counseling, but it's not like hardcore like that. You know what I mean? So I feel like there should be more programs like that in prisons to actually like, you know, help these inmates, you know, dig deep and figure out, you know, the root cause of, you know, why they, how they got here, you know?
Yeah.
And, I I'm pretty sure the program is still going on. So like 5 years ago, I actually went back to the prison that I did my time in and I spoke to the inmates there.
That's huge.
It was, and so I was like so nervous, right? Just going back there and being clean and like talking to the inmates. And they actually have like a trades program in the prison now.
Hell yeah.
In the women's prison. So they didn't have it when I was in there. And after I spoke, I didn't realize all the women that were in that trades program and what a huge inspiration it was to hear somebody be successful in the trades.
Someone coming from that same spot that they're sitting in this exact same building, working their way up and becoming a success story, right? People need to see that. People need that motivation, right? If they just think, oh, well, I guess I'm here and I'm never going anywhere. Who else has made it out, right?
Yeah.
And that's huge. That's good for you.
Wow. It was really sad because my roommate that was in there when I was in there, she was back in there when I went to speak. And I saw her when I walked in and I was like, oh man.
She wanted to shank you? She just wanted to like start a prison riot and you'd be like, hey, for old time's sake, hey, you know, like.
She's my roommate. She was cool, but.
Hey, we can have sex now. You won't get added time, you know, like.
she would say some shit like that.
Yeah.
I was just thinking about that the other day and it's been a while now and there's probably like a whole new group of inmates in there. And I was thinking about going back and speaking again, just because I feel like it could really help a lot of people. You know, I remember when I was in there, a woman came in to speak and she wasn't in the trades or anything like that, but she just came in and she was just talking about her story and then how she's like, well, she's doing, how she owns a home and all this stuff. And she has a great job. And I was like, man, I wish, you know, I want that to be me so bad. And I felt really inspired hearing her say that, you know, so I just feel like it's really important to give back what you can, you know, in those kind of situations, if you can. So,
yeah, absolutely. That's awesome. That's very amazing. And you have a platform too, right? Like, did you have your platform on Instagram? Are you on TikTok?
Yeah, I just did it in January. So it's kind of newer, but yeah.
Yeah. So you kind of, whatever, you have a platform on TikTok and on Instagram. How many followers you got on Instagram now?
I was like 7,000 or something.
Oh, see, that's enough. That's enough to get the ball rolling, right? Like, so now you have like this platform, right? Yeah. I don't know if you had it the last time you spoke there or not, but you know, like you have this platform now. You what a way to give back, you know? Everybody watches social media, right? Everybody.
Oh, yeah.
If you're sitting on the street, you've probably got a phone, right? It's hard to charge it, but like you got a phone. You know, you're probably, you know, scrolling reels or some shit, you know, and people see what they need to see, right? And sometimes what they don't want to see is on there too, right? So, you know, you talk about, you know, how you went to prison and how you like got out and got into a trade and show yourself speaking at this prison for women and what they offer and whatnot. You could really help someone. You know, someone might be sitting on the street, maybe wanting to cause a crime just to get into this program, you know? Like,
yeah. Yep.
3 square meals a day and a nice warm bed.
Yep. Yeah. Hey, no, some people do, you know, they're going through such like a hardship on the streets that they're just like, fuck it, I'm going to go, you know, rob this store or whatever and get some time so I can be comfortable for a while. So,
hey, I work in the oil and gas industry and we stay in camp, right? And in Fort Mac. And over the years, I've been in the industry long enough. I know some guys, they're for a quick buck, you know. Oh, I can come to the oil field and I can make really good money quickly. I need like a quick 6-7 grand. Okay, I'll go to work for a month, right? And then I'm back. And they use camp, you know, all the food you want to eat and you know, a nice warm bed to sleep in and a gym if you want sometimes. And you know, and they've used it for that, right? And these people aren't the greatest people to work with, but you know, like, you know, I've worked with people who have a nice home and a family and who are just as bad, if not worse, sometimes.
Right? Yeah. Oh yeah. Yep.
Yeah. No, it's that's pretty good for you. No, you know, like your platform and what you're doing there, and that's good for you. Good for you.
Thanks. Awesome. Thank you.
Yeah. Yeah. Can you see me clearly and hear me just fine?
Yeah, it's perfect.
I'm not like,
No, it looks pretty good on my side.
All right, good. Yeah, the podcast is being recorded. You know, I'm in a shitty town with terrible Wi-Fi and terrible cell service. I'm using the Starlink that the podcast was just sponsored with. So,
Cool. Yeah, it's like, it's crisp and clear.
Yeah. You know what? I was we're working an hour and a half north of where we're staying. So we're traveling 3 hours a day. And when we're up north, we're up on some of the Aboriginal reserves. And there's no cell service up there whatsoever. Yeah. During the day while we're working, we're surrounded by 3-4 wildfires going on and the air quality shit. And but yeah, there's no cell service. And I have this Starlink out there and I just pop it up on the roof. And you know, it almost feels unfair to my phone. You know, like my phone can't handle speeds this fast, right?
My phone,
you know, I also don't want to throw it in the garbage or something, you know, like
Yeah. Like, so with your line of work, do you have like a certain amount of time off per year, or do you just like work 24/7?
Well, in the summertime I work road construction, right?
Yeah.
And so there I work long weekend, right? So like you could work for a month or two between the long weekends and you work every day, and you know, after a certain amount of days, they have to reset us for a day, but usually we have a rain day or whatever in there.
Yeah.
You know, work makes up for that. Yeah, we're working like 12 to 14 and a half hours a day.
Yeah.
And then in the wintertime, I work in the oil patch, and I work 20 days on and 10 off, and they find me in and out. But before that, I only started working there last winter. Before that, I was working on a vac truck. And I was gone six months at a time at times, sometimes. And home, I spent 20 days at home in 2 years, which was hard. You could work 4 hours a day. You could work 40 hours straight. You never knew what was coming, right? And that was hard. That was really shitty. And it stressed me out. But the podcast was built on that schedule, right? Like,
yeah.
I haven't missed a day in 143 weeks, or haven't missed a week in 143 weeks, I guess I should say, 44 weeks now.
That's impressive.
Built off a schedule where I was on call 24/7, had no idea what was coming, so I had to stay 4 or 5 weeks ahead at a time, just in case. I would work like a 30-hour night shift or whatever, get back, and I'd be like, hey, you want to record a podcast, because you know, I need to put one in the bank and I'm not quite tired yet. And like, yeah, you could see me dying in the podcast. I was like, you know, like, and yeah, pretty much. I work. You know Boom Nation? Who Boom Nation is?
Sounds familiar. Yes.
They got like a few hundred thousand followers on Instagram. They do Boom Nation. They have their own newsletter, and so I had them on the podcast like a year and a half ago, and we recorded at 10 in the morning after a long night shift. I got back and I was gonna have a little bit of a nap. But by the time I had my breakfast and I talked to my wife and my kids for a little bit, it was like 9:30, and I'm like, yeah, I'm not going to bed now. So I just recorded with them, and it ended up being almost a 2-hour long podcast. So it was like noon by the time I got off. And I'm like, yeah, I'm going to go sleep for 4.5 hours and then get up and have dinner and then go to work. Right. And so, you know, yeah, it's just shit like that. And never knowing where I'm going to record and how that service is going to be and whatnot.
Yeah.
Yeah, so you know, we've come a long way in 2.5 years. I'm pumped, you know. So
that's pretty cool.
It's been my baby. I love doing this. Have you ever been on a podcast before?
I have, yeah.
Oh, I'm not popping your cherry. Oh.
No. I was on Hunter's podcast, some welding, I don't remember her name.
Some welding girl. I love Hunter. I know she's cool. The blonde welder actually was hosting season 3 for a little bit there.
That's cool.
I like Hunter. Hunter's good shit, you know. She's been through a lot of shit too,
right? She has.
I like
she's
her
cool people.
hell yeah. So like, where do you just see yourself just staying as a carpenter, or like, I know a lot of people like they want to have more than one trade, right? And more than one to fall back on. You're just gonna stay carpentry, or are you gonna like
Honestly, I've always really wanted to learn welding. I've taken a couple classes. Like when you're in the Carpenters Union, they offer welding classes.
Oh, yeah.
So I took some when I was doing all the classes and stuff, and I really liked it. And I think in the future, I probably will get a welder and just kind of learn on my own. But when I was deciding if I wanted to be a carpenter or a welder or a mechanic, it was really between welding and carpentry. And I kind of always I want to learn it, you know what I mean? So I'm so busy with like my job now and my art and stuff like that. There's like, I don't even know where I'd find the time.
Yeah. Pretty cool. Yeah. That's pretty cool. I like to do this oil field in the winter and here in the summer. When the oil field crashed in like 2015, I think it was, I needed something else to keep me busy. Right. So I found this job. My wife had to drag me to the job fair, but like, I didn't want to do it. And now I don't ever want to do that. At one point or another, this job, it actually out, we'd outgrow in this job. And so it was kind of like, hey, maybe it was time to find something new. And I fought tooth and nail to keep it. My wife was like, hey man, like I had to fight you to get it, you know, like,
yeah.
Then we actually grew back into it. Right. So it was like, you know, I love it here. I mainly only come back every year so I can qualify for the Christmas party, you know, in December there. And they do a lot of good shit. Right. You know, they do company functions. Like this past winter, I didn't think I was going to make it because I had to work. They did like a family ski night, right, where they got everyone to come down. And the first time they actually had it, it was too cold. They had to cancel. It was like minus 40 or whatever. And then the second night, I did make it for, but I couldn't ski. I broke my ankle, and I had to sit at the window and watch. It was I was just eating the free hot dogs, though. I'm like, this is really good. Good job, guys. You know, I
had, you like, still have fun.
Yeah, I still had a good time. Yeah, I actually, my wife made me sit down on the main terrace or the main kitchen spot to watch from that window. And I'm like, I really couldn't see where they were. So I saw there was some steps that led up to a mezzanine. And I'm like, all right, I can do this, right? I can do this. So I hopped up the steps. And on the way down to get my hot dog, I actually tripped a little bit, right? And I was like, oh, but I caught myself. So I didn't fall. But I got the hot dog, the chips, the pop, and I'm like, hey, now how do I get up the steps with all this stuff? So I set it on the one step, and then I jump up. I pick it up, set it on the next one. And the lady behind me is like, should we help them? And they're like, I don't know. And I'm like, I got this. Don't worry. Right? I didn't have it. I spilled most of my pop on the way.
Oh, my God.
Chips on the floor. I made it over either way. Yeah, it was a good time.
Too bad you didn't get like a video of that. That would have been fucking incredible.
If there's a
security, but, I mean, what are you gonna do? Like, go down and set your phone up and then come back
up? Yeah, yeah. Like, hey, just, you know what? Let me redo this again. That's something I would do.
Was that when you broke your ankle recently? Right, like kind of recently. Okay, yeah. How are you healed 100% from that? Or
so I just got back to work 2 months ago. July 5th was my first day back to work. I had 5.5 months off or something like that. It was 5 months off, maybe.
That's a long time.
Oh, honestly, I needed it. I needed it because you know, working away so much, getting diagnosed with BPD, suffering mentally and shit like that. I healed a lot physically and mentally, and I learned a lot about myself. In that time, BetterHelp sponsored the podcast. Yeah. And so I got free therapy, which I would not have been able to utilize had I been on the road.
Yeah,
you know, working all day long, and you know, a therapist is not going to be available at 8 or 9 o'clock at night, right? So, I actually got to do therapy at like 9 in the morning, 10 in the morning when he's free, right? Yeah. And honestly, I learned a lot about myself, right? And it was pretty interesting. And you know, my family, we got to experience each other in ways we hadn't got to experience before. Yeah. I joined my kids' parent teacher council, right?
Nice.
I crutched in there the first couple of times. I'm like, grr, peg leg, right? And so is it healed all the way? The first like month back, it was really shitty. You know, like I was moving around, hobbling, and you know, walking on even a pebble underneath my boot or a decent sized rock, I would feel it.
Yeah.
So I broke the fibula. I dislocated the talus bone. I broke something else. Yeah, it was a good time. I really fucked her up pretty good. And you know, now. It only hurts when I sit for a while and it stiffens up. And then I get out, I just move it around a little bit that I can walk on it freely. But my boss was saying the other day, when I walk a little bit now, like I was pigeon-toed a little bit before and I straightened that out. Now it's pigeon-toed a little bit again.
Oh, is it?
Yeah, and I had an arch in my foot before and now it's flat, right? Oh. So you got to walk that way a little bit more.
Yeah.
And for the fibula, I feel that a little bit. Like after a long day, I'll feel it. It doesn't hurt. It just you just feel it.
Right? Yeah, it's just there. You notice it.
Yeah, it's there. And the doctor said that could take up to a year to fully heal.
Yeah.
So, you know, whatever. We're doing whatever. And I started running. I can run again somewhat. Yeah. Okay. Like I can't like go top speed
yeah.
chase yeah. after the ice cream truck or anything. Or,
yeah.
Yeah. Okay. But I can do that. And then what else? I tried going to the gym. Maybe a half hour was too long on the treadmill, but my foot felt really felt like jelly and hurt a little bit. 10 minutes probably would have been better, you know, 10
probably
minutes
to start.
Yeah.
You're supposed to ease into it, right?
Yeah. And I gained 20 pounds while I was sitting around doing nothing on the couch there. It was great. It was great. I watched so many TV shows.
Yeah.
I gained like 20 pounds and I feel like I've lost that and then some. So,
good. Yeah. I actually had an injury in the very beginning of the year or Christmas Eve. I fell down my back steps carrying a bunch of lumber because it was icy out. And when I fell, I like hit my head and like got a concussion. And then when I flipped around and the lumber fell and landed right on my tailbone. And I already have a, like kind of a bad back. So, like I posted a video of it on my Instagram, but it was on my surveillance camera caught the whole thing.
Oh yeah.
So I jumped up and like went and laid in the bed, and we had like a bunch of people coming over because it was Christmas Eve, right? They're like gonna arrive at any time. And I just like, I couldn't sit up without getting all this pressure in my head. Like it felt like my brain was being squished, right? And I started getting nauseous and like throwing up, and it was like, it was fucked up. My back was all fucked up. And so I ended up having to go to the ER and I had a concussion and I didn't break anything, thankfully, but my tailbone was kind of messed up. And I've never had a head injury before of any kind. And let me tell you, head injuries are fucking no joke. Like I couldn't believe, like I started getting migraines and like super bad headaches. And like, it just like dealing with that, I went back to work after like a couple weeks. And it was really rough. Like I was like, cause I work tens usually.
Yeah.
So I could barely get through the whole day. And I was just like getting like sick at work and these migraines. And it was just like, what the fuck?
Like we were playing football outside at school in grade 11. And we're just lunch recess thing, right? Just fuck, throwing the ball around. And I caught the ball and I would hit anybody so hard. I didn't care. I'm small. I'm a small guy. It's like I would hit anybody I could. I caught the ball. My head was down. And this bigger guy than me, like probably outweighed me by like 80 pounds at least and much taller. He hit me so hard and my head was down and I landed. I don't know how I landed, but I couldn't move for like 10 minutes. I couldn't move. Right?
Yeah.
It scared the shit out of me. I got up and I was very, very obviously concussed. And it hurt for months to walk for months. I felt it like in my ribs, felt it here. I got up though from that recess and I got up and I went to gym class, right? I'm like, oh, we played basketball and like, I couldn't even throw the ball. I just like dribbling it like it was a weird dribble.
Yeah.
I remember like how that must've looked. That's just part of BPD, right? Like how that the look, like people must have thought, man, this guy's a fucking idiot, right? Like, oh my god, like I still think about that vividly, right? Like,
yeah,
they're sitting at home 20 years later remembering that guy who threw them the ball like this, right? Right. And you know, it haunts me. Yeah. It haunts me, you know?
I think like we have those things, you know what I mean, like those embarrassing things.
Yeah.
And sometimes they just haunt you. You're like laying in bed and like, I can't believe I did that 20 years ago. I'm such an idiot. Why did I do that? Like nobody probably even remembers but you. You know what I mean?
Yeah. 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 There's I've done, you know, like 20-ish years ago that I'm just like, why did I say that?
Yeah.
Why did I look like, why did I give that look? They're probably sitting at home with their kids, like being like, yeah, this fucking idiot. Like if I ever cross their like timelines, their FYPs or whatever, or yeah. they listen to the podcast, they're probably like, ah, that's the guy that looked at me like a fucking idiot 20 years ago, you know?
Yeah, probably. You never know, right?
You never yeah. know. Yeah, but it's probably not like that. And I know that it's probably not like that. Like, but then again, like, I see this kid on my Facebook sometimes, right? And I remember that as the kid who I let sleep over at my house. And when he slept over, he stole all my Pokemon games, right? And that guy sent me a message. He reached out to me 3 months ago. He's like, hey, man. He's like, I was kind of shitty to you when we were 12, 13. And I'm like, bro, I fucking hate you now. You know how hard I worked to, like, get all those Pokemon?
Yeah.
Yeah. And, like, I had to steal that game off of someone else just to make it work, right?
Yeah,
like,
I know, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
Traumatize you. You're just like, yeah. you'll never forget that. You're like, never I don't want to be friends with you. Fuck off.
Never forget. I added him as a friend and okay. right. And he's like, I can't accept it, man. I can't accept your friend request because like I don't want you to reach out and tag me in things and talk about how much of an idiot I was. I'm like, bro, we're pushing 40, man. You know what I mean? Like, we're pushing 40. I can let a Pokemon game slide from 20 years ago.
Yeah, right? Yeah, I know, right?
Yeah.
Your kids.
It's all good. I tore a strip off of them like 10 years ago, actually.
Yeah.
Like, I'm still holding on to this, you know? Like, I tell my kids now, hey, Dad, can this girl sleep over? No. She's going to steal your shit. And then, you know, like, yeah, no.
It's going to traumatize you. Yeah, yeah. 20 years later.
Yeah. You're going to remember this when you're 40. No.
Yeah, well, now they're just going to remember you telling them no to sleepovers.
Well, yeah, I mean, like, I'd rather that than have to deal with some bullshit. And I paid for their shit, so I'm not getting stolen. Yeah. Yeah, my oldest daughter, it's bad enough that she'll take her toys to school and she'll give them away to her friend. She'll be like, hey, you look like you could use this toy. Here you go. And I just found this out. The teacher told us. And I was like, are you kidding me? Are you the toy that you cried for while we were walking through Walmart that you begged me to get you?
Had to have.
I promise I'll do the dishes, Dad. Okay, cool. So now we're donating them to the kids that are more fortunate than us, or I don't know. Like,
hard to say, right?
Hard to say. Yeah, it's crazy. It's wild.
Oh, it's funny shit.
Yeah. Hey, do you know what viscosity is?
Viscosity. Tell me.
It's like a fluid's resistance to flow, right? Like how thick the fluid is. Or so where I'm going with is the podcast is sponsored by the Mudman. And the Mudman deals in the thickness of your load. And you can take that however you want to. I mean, you know, like, yeah, the thickness of your load. You've been to prison. I know what you're talking about.
Yeah. Straight to the gutter for me.
Straight to the gutter. Hey, and that's perfect. That's where it's meant to go, right? Yeah. He loves that shit anyway. Yeah. So the Mudman, you know, for all your drilling fluid and laboratory testing equipment needs, you know, he deals, you know, in drilling fluid and stuff like that on the drilling rigs, right? Where, you know, they deal with that stuff. And he's got all this high tech fancy gear they didn't have 15, 20 years ago. Right. So yeah, it's pretty neat. And you know, that guy reached out to me episode 14. He started sponsoring the podcast. We were going to go on a 5-episode run and here we are 2 years later, 2.5 years later.
Nice.
Yeah.
That's pretty fucking awesome, man.
Sponsored it with a headset and a mic to start. And then, you know, last summer he's like, hey, here. And he sponsored the podcast with a MacBook Pro. So now I can edit. And this is where I do all my recording too. Got me off the phone. And yeah, nice. it's been a pretty good run and solid guy. Yeah, solid.
That's cool. Right on, man.
Yeah. Absolutely. Oh, my God. So how did you get hooked up with Troll?
Someone recommended me actually.
Nice. Who do you know who recommended you?
Yeah, Bailey.
Okay. Yep, Bailey. Yeah.
Her username Barnes. I don't know.
Bailey Barnes. Yeah. Bailey Barnes and I have a little. Her and I. I like Bailey. You know, like for everything that's happened between Bailey and I, we had a little bit of a beef thing going on. It wasn't public. We didn't, you know, blow it up or anything like that. She just took what I said, and it was a genuine question, and she thought I was attacking or being ignorant or arrogant or whatever you want to say. And I'm like, no, I yeah. literally was questioning. Right. And so, yeah, her and I had a little bit of a small little tiff there, but Bailey's good shit. I like Bailey. Yeah. I don't know if she'll ever come on the podcast. I've asked her. I don't know if she wants. Yeah. I don't know if she likes me, but you know, that's BBD.
She just, yeah. She just randomly recommended me. It was cool, you know, of her. Yeah. And yeah, ever since I've been with Troll, so.
Oh yeah, Troll's actually not been bad. You know, I've been with them for like, I think this November will be 2 years.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I think for me, like maybe October would be like a year, maybe.
Nice. Yeah.
Maybe something like that. Yeah.
That group chat was a lot of fun. Very chaotic, but yes. a lot of fun.
Shit got crazy there at the end of all the, you know, the drama.
Yeah, there was a lot of drama.
Tuning in, reading the comments, like, God, this is too much drama for me, but I'm going to sit back and watch.
You know what? Brian kept my dick jokes in check. He just, yeah. like, he just kept them in check. But there was, like, that 24-hour period where it was a lawless land. Right, Brian wasn't there, and the Masters of Troll hadn't stepped in yet, and it was just a free for all. People saying all kinds of shit.
It was a fuck show.
Yeah, I just dropped dick joke after dick joke. I didn't care. I'm just like,
I saw. Yeah. I was laughing at some of them. I was like, oh shit.
I was just like, I can say the word dick in here now, and nobody can stop me, right? And then you know the comments were turned off unless you were they were talking to you or whatever like that.
Yeah.
So it was like, this sucks now. Whatever, you know. Yeah. But you know, the group chat was good. I met a lot of really good blue collar folks and you know, a lot of them have been on the podcast. You're here, right? Mm-hmm. So, you know, a lot of good came out of that. You know, I wouldn't have met or known about half the people in that group.
Yeah.
Until, you know, at some point they probably would have come across my feed, but you know, they were right there and there was a whole access list or whatever you want to say.
That's helpful too. I mean, it's just right there for you.
Absolutely. Are you in the Unified Minds group, aren't you?
Yes. I am.
My group gets a little chaotic too.
It does, yeah. I moved over to my general messages because I couldn't keep up with it.
Yeah.
It was just like too much going on, and I was just like ding 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 on my phone. I was just like, I'm gonna move this one over for a while. I haven't looked at it in a while, actually. Now that you mentioned that, I need to go check it out.
There's a lot of shit in there, especially after the last week or so and the last few days. I refuse to talk about any of that on my socials because there's a lot of it flooding the feed, and actually it's affected my views on TikTok and Instagram because every other video is about what happened. Right.
Yeah.
And so like, I'm just sitting here, I'm like, no matter what I post, it's not going to go viral or it's not even going to get good views. Nothing's going to happen because everyone's tuned into what's going on over there right now. Right.
Yeah.
So I'm whatever. I don't care. So, and I did find what happened prior to that. I got a little curious. And I went looking for the full video of the girl on the train, and I shouldn't have. I should have just left it. I found it, and it fucking broke my heart, right? I'm just like, I want to go back to the person I was before I watched that, right?
Yeah.
And it's yeah. I saw a couple posts that said we're not meant to see shit like that and then move on to a TikTok that we laugh at, right?
Yeah. Oh, so, for sure. You wake up first thing in the morning, and that's what you're looking at, you know? Not a good way to start your day, you know?
Yeah, it's not. It's not. And, you know, I saw it when I was at work, and I'm just like, motherfucker, right? Like, shit. So I get it. Like, we're not meant to do that. We're not supposed to do that. We're supposed to feel those feelings and then, like, you know, sit in that for a bit. But in order to go back to somewhat normal after watching that, I had to go and watch a video that I could laugh at, right?
Yeah.
I had to, like, I sat there. I probably watched that video, the whole video. I probably watched it like 5-6 times. I'm like,
it's brutal.
I'm just like, there's no way this is real. Like, there's no way. It has to be fake, right? And then to find out, like, that shit's real. And like, it kind of broke my heart a little bit, right?
Yep. It is. It's heartbreaking.
Yeah.
And it's really sad. But
I mean, I don't know. I don't know, man. I don't want to make videos about it. I don't want to like talk about it too much on the socials and, you know, fucking, like I know there's two ways it could go. You're going to get a lot of hate or you're going to get a lot of people like, we love you.
Yeah.
All right. And I don't want you to love me for shit like that. Right.
Yeah.
Like So, like, you know, whatever. That's part of the politics, and I stay the fuck out of it, right? And
yeah, I'm the same. I try to stay out of that stuff, you know?
Yeah. Yeah, it's pretty shitty. Someone did say that, you know, like, what about the school shooting? And, like, if you really think about it, he was shot at a school. It technically is a school shooting, right?
Yeah. Yeah. Technically, yeah.
Yeah.
I didn't even think of that.
Yeah, my wife had never heard of him until all this had happened.
Neither had my husband.
I fucking love this guy, right? Like, I watch his shit all the time.
Yeah.
Right? And, like, you don't have to agree with it. But, like, yeah. You know, you got to respect how he did it, you know? He came at you respectable. He didn't belittle you for your thoughts or your feelings. Yeah. He just said, hey, this is mine, and what are yours? And, okay, well, here's where I think, you know, we could meet in the middle maybe, right? And a lot of people are taking a lot of his quotes and using them out of context.
Yeah.
And it's pretty. Yeah, so my wife went down the rabbit hole with me there last night after we watched Llama Girl. And Llama Girl? Was it the Llamas? No, it was what was it? The Llamas? We talked about it at the beginning. Was it Llamas that she I can't remember. Alpacas.
Alpacas. Okay.
Alpacas.
You're saying llama. Llama's weird. It's
llamas. Hey, I say zebra.
I was like, what are you saying? I don't know.
I also say zebra, not zebra, because in Canada, it's Zed, not Z.
Okay.
No, I don't actually call it a zebra. But she went down the rabbit hole with me on his videos last night. She's like, I actually like this guy. This guy's like well-spoken and like respectable. And I'm like, you got to go with your shit.
Right. I showed my husband because we were watching some of the videos too, because he didn't know about the guy at all. And there was a lot of videos I saw that I was like, okay, yeah, I agree with that. And like, fuck yeah. And then there were some I saw where I was like, no, fuck you. It's kind of like, I don't know, you know, but I mean, for him to be killed for speaking his mind, I mean,
well,
I don't know. That's fucked.
Yeah, there's a lot of conspiracies.
Nobody deserves that.
Too, right? There's a lot of conspiracies out there,
about why
it happened and who did it. And it's like, if you don't have the guy now, by this point in time, you're never going to have him.
Or you
never know, right?
Oh, I thought they caught him.
Scorned. Could be a woman scorned, you know? Like
they didn't catch him? I thought they did.
Wow. That could be a patsy, right?
Yeah, totally.
Yeah.
The guy I saw in the picture, I was like, there's no way that guy did that.
Yeah, no, that was a 200-yard shot. That was pretty. Yeah, an excellent marksman. That guy's playing a lot of Call of Duty, you know? Like,
He looked like he probably did play a lot of Call of Duty, the guy.
He probably did, yeah. You know, like, he just shoots the gun. He's like, that's a lot more real than it is on screen. He's going to spawn at any minute now, right?
Yeah.
It's coming, right?
No. Yeah, yeah.
No, there's no spawning. No, not at all. I don't want to take up too much more of your time there. I appreciate you coming on the podcast, and I like it. I have to wrap up the pod with one last question, and that's Mount Rushmore has like four of the most influential people in the history of, I guess, America up on the rock. If you could have your own Mount Rushmore, four people that you look up to, inspire to be, or that have inspired you, dead or alive, real, not real, who would they be and why?
So I actually knew you were going to ask me this.
Oh, you listen to the podcast.
I have been listening to your podcast.
Oh, my God.
And I've been thinking about it because I was like, God, I don't even know what I would say. But I do. I have four people. And they aren't celebrities or anyone like that. But I would say number one would be my first carpentry instructor when I first went to the college that believed in me and never gave up on me and set me up with all the tools I needed to succeed. That guy, he will always have a place in my heart. We're like, he's like family to us. Like we see his wife and him sometimes, and he's just good people. You know what I mean? So he would be my number one because he helped me get to where I am today, even though it was the very, very beginning of my journey. And then probably I would say my next three people would be family members of mine, just because again, they have stood by me through, you know, everything, which would be my mom. She never gave up on me. She never turned her back on me. She was always there for me. Another reason why I succeeded is I had her on my side. And then my sister, she also, same thing. She's always been there for me and never turned her back on me and a huge part of my success. And then my husband, because he's always cheered for me and been there for me too. And he's seen me through some hard times, so
cheered so loud you didn't pay attention to who wasn't. Yeah, yeah. That's like my wife. My wife's been my rock. You know, she said something to me at the beginning of this year when I was going through it and just starting to go through it, just taking the journey, right? And she's like, hey, I've had to fight you for you every day for 20 years, right? She's like, I've had to fight, like, and I repeat that all the time. I repeat that back to myself all the time, like when I'm having a bad day or when I'm like, man, nobody, when I start going and having an episode or whatever, one thing that really grounds me, my wife has my back and she's fought me for me every day for 20 years, right? Yeah. And like, that just grounds me, right? It's just like, hey, that's all that I need, right? And and that's huge. That's all I need. Yeah. And my therapist for teaching me grounding techniques, right? And me coming up with that one on my own. He was like the clap and the sigh and the breathing or whatever. And then I'm like, well, my wife said this, and this seems to be like, you know how Happy Gilmore had his happy place when he was putting the ball or whatever.
Yeah.
You know, Veronica with fucking, was it Veronica? I don't know her name. Veronica with her boobs out and her beer bottles, her beer jugs in hand. And she's like, happy place, right? Mine's in my wife's lap and her saying, I had to fight you for you every day for 20 years. Yeah.
20 years. Congratulations on that. Because that's this day and age, not a lot of people make it to 20 years. It seems like everyone's, you know.
I don't know who trapped who here. I don't know who trapped who, right? Like, you know, like. Are we lazy? Did we just get lazy and complacent or what? Because we've been there since the end of grade 11. And, you know, like, for me, it was just like, once I want to marry you. And once I knew I wanted to marry her, you know, it was kind of like, I only plan on having one of those.
Yeah.
And that's it. If you don't like me, turn around and come back again. Maybe, you know, like go to bed, go have a nap or something.
Yeah.
Yeah. Go have a nap because this is my ride or die. And hey, she feels the same way. So, you know, she's like, if I didn't care about you, I wouldn't be fighting you all the time on certain shit. Right. So, and I appreciate all of that. I remember we were 20 years old, 21 years old, 22, 23, those few years. And, you know, if something was bothering her, she'd wake me up in the dead of night, 2-3 in the morning to have an argument with me. Right. And I was so mad. I was just like, what the fuck? Right. But nowadays it's like, you know, in my mid to late 30s. Oh, I can't believe I'm saying that. But in my mid to late 30s, if she has an issue and she wants to wake me up at 2 or 3 in the morning, fucking do it. Right. Like, just wake me up. Let's have the chat. Get it off with, you know, get off what's on your mind, because I've been there where, especially in the last couple of years, you know, shit's been on my mind and it wakes me up and I can't sleep and I need to say it. And, you know, and yeah, so I, shout out to Mrs. Frost, man. What an incredible human being.
Shout out.
Yeah, I fucking love her. Yeah.
That's awesome, dude.
So before we go, what episodes did you listen to? I love asking and I love listening because, like, you know, I like getting feedback on that stuff, right?
I listened to, I told you, Blue Collar Code, Hunters, and then I can't remember the name. I started a couple other ones. I didn't finish them, though.
Oh, that boring. Shit.
No, I just, I sidetracked.
Yeah.
I'm Bobby's trying to remember the other one.
I like Bobby. Blue Collar Code is Bobby, right? I love Bobby.
Oh, Bobby's awesome. Yeah. He commissioned me, and I made him do you see the license plate?
No.
Oh, check. I made him a giant Arizona license plate with his partner's name on it, shotgun, instead of the, you know, numbers.
how much does something like that cost? I might have to get something like that done for me.
It just depends on like how you want it and how many details, and I mean, usually they run, it can be between $1,000 and $2,000.
Wow. Okay. Yeah. All right.
Time is what takes the most. They're very time consuming to do everything by hand.
100%. And why not charge that much? You know what I mean? Like, it's your skill, your time, and fuck yeah. Yeah. So right now, what's my GoFundMe? Let's put the GoFundMe up there. I got to look into something like that. So yeah, that's cool. An Arizona license plate. Got to get an Alberta license plate with, you know, like Frost or something on it, or, you know, Frost Fam, or I don't know.
It turned out really cool too. Like, I've never made anything like that before, because a lot of my art is more like, I don't know. It's not, I don't do license plates. I mean, It's not something I usually do, so it was the first time for me, and it turned out really cool. He was happy, so.
We don't do license plates, but if I need a fucking wooden door made, Crystal's my girl, right? Oh, you make that bookshelf behind you with all the shits on it? Like,
no, that's fucking IKEA.
Oh, that's IKEA. Hey, I mean, hey.
It works perfect for those, so.
Yeah. No, that's cool. I got to look at more of your stuff that you've built because I see your videos and stuff like that, and I see things that you've designed and stuff. And I like your work. So, yeah, it's pretty
good.
Thank you. Yeah, absolutely. Well, thanks for coming on. I appreciate it so much. We got to get you back on, right?
I'm down.
We'll shoot the shit again. Guarantee
it. Sounds good, dude.
Crystal, stay frosty.
Thanks, I will do. See ya.
Can you hear the music on the way out?
I can.
Oh, I didn't even talk about your guitar. See, part two.
Yeah.